that smitten rock, grumbling to grace. Now, the story of Massa and Meribah is an interesting story. It's in Exodus 17. It's just kind of like a historical footnote of what happened yesterday. The ancient wilderness, the wanderings of Israel. But it's a warning and an invitation also to us that echoes perfectly today as well in our own lives. The names themselves say something. Now, usually when we, you know, marketing and art society, you're going to name something. Moses should have named it like something like Oasis of Refreshment. They didn't call it that. Meribah and Mizpah. I don't say that wrong. Massa and Meribah. Wrong words. Basically, God gives these people water from a rock. They recently called it Meribah. Meribah means testing. Mizpah means grumbling and complaining. Strife. Because God offers them and provides for everything they have, and yet the people were always grumbling. They turned God, giving them water, into a performance review, testing God. Is the Lord not among us? He was. But the people had selected him. You know, we do that too. We tend to edit things. Only when we look at the past, do you remember that your Uncle Edward got trash drunk at a wedding, dunked over the punch, and ruined everything? No, you tend to forget that. It goes through editing. Remember the good things. The good old days were always better than they really were. You had to do that. But the Israelites did something different. The Israelites, all the things that God had done, all the 12 plagues, leading them out of Egypt, leading them through the water, providing manna for them, giving them quail to eat, and at other times giving them water, and they go, what? Remember the water was bitter, so God made it sweet. They don't remember any of that. Where is God among me now? What's he doing? They were not isolated, but they felt like they were. They focused only on themselves. The capital pattern that repeated over and over and over. Yet, seeing all that in their thirst, what did they do? They made it an accusation against God. Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to die of thirst? The real question was about God's character. But that was interesting because he said people tend to take things very subtly. Because they crumble. Now when we crumble, we Moses said they rioted. Why? Because they were about ready to stone me. So they come in, God provide all for them, and yet they're never quite satisfied. So think about it. All they have to do is go to their leader and say, hey, we don't have enough water. The leader is going to go to the Moses, we need some water. God would abundantly provide it. No, they didn't want to do that. They started getting mad and angry and violent. And yes, they did. Isn't that the same thing we do when we're on a Zoom meeting and suddenly the Wi-Fi won't work? Get angry and upset. But look at this wilderness rebellion. The test, Massa, Israel is God. They have a legitimate need. See, they invert the proper order because really God tests us. Why does God test us? To strengthen us and strengthen our faith. Will we rely on him for all the things that we do? Because we'll go through many testings in life. When your health fails you, do you trust in God? Or do you say, no, God, I won't do it? When you don't get that new car that you want, do you trust God? Or do you get mad at God because he hasn't provided enough? See, they turn things around. They demand of God that he give them whatever they want, when they want. It's like going to finals week at a college and say, Professor, I'm not going to believe anything you say until you first prove to me you exist. And they quarreled. So the grumbling escalated to tension. You see, they grumbled against Moses. So I want to think about this. When people are mad at God, they will never admit they're mad at God. Very well. But how can you be mad at God? You learn all your life, God is good. You can't be mad at God. So you get angry at God, what do? Take it out on God's servants. Maybe take it out on the pastor or the minister, or you take it out on one of the elders, or even one of the churches. Go to the church itself. So we grumble against the church. You've got the church, and that one little picky thing that you don't like, you'll complain about it, put all this energy into it. Maybe this pastor's sermon went 2 minutes long. And so, pastor gets a call from the person who's angry, just screaming and yelling and hollering, I have nothing to do. How dare you go out 2 minutes long? You know what just happened? I can say it. Sorry, really. First church, they had 4 air conditioners. One at each corner. Well, that created kind of an interesting problem because these would blow in and the air would. Those would blow in, the air would circle this. Then it caused hot spots and cool spots. So what happened was the people got in a fight over the thermostat, shoving it up, shoving it down. So finally, the elders had to put a lock on them and say, if you don't like what temperature is on the pew you're sitting, move back a few. I'm not kidding. Move back a few. So they should have put ducked all the way across and put them together with the next air bus. But anyway, but that, you know, it's just things that happen. We grumble. You know what? God, with God, mercy always triumphs over judgment. Yeah, we complain, we do those things, but God is merciful. So he instructed Moses, go to Mount Horeb, and there you're going to find a rock. It's interesting in Jewish mythology, that rock kind of hollowed. Never said that. But he instructed Moses to find the rock, strike it, and what happened? All that water flowed out for them to drink. Even though the people were not faithful, God always is. And that's the heartbeat of the gospel, which echoes later in Scripture. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. God provided hydration for people even though they were complaining about it. Because his character does not bend down. Scripture in Psalm 95, which is our Psalm today, calls us worshipers to praise God for everything, but it offers also a stark warning. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in Meribah on the day of Massah in the wilderness. And as I encourage you, go back and get another. Do this in Hebrews chapters 3 and 4. This urges us not to fall short of God's rest through unbelief, like that generation is the right. In other words, don't put the Meribah incident on your playlist and get to be. Today, we have our own Manasseh and our Massa. Massah and Meribah. People are no different today than they were back then. So we pinned our kids on Meribah and Massah and Meribah, whatever trials raise doubts. In seasons of scarcity, famine, financial strain, health crisis, relational problems, literally complain. We ask God, really there, God? Has he forgotten his promises? Or maybe we say, hey, God, I've logged my request with you now for 3 months. What's the ETA on? We grumble against leaders. Or their proxies. That is forming with pride. We complain about whatever the case may be. We test God by demanding signs, by demanding he change something in our life, or explanations. distrusting him. Sometimes we don't know why things happen. We have to say, okay, God, I can decide that's you. Because God is involved in it. And social media really amplifies modern marathons. You ever go on social media, all the comments, the quarreling, people can really mean on social media. All the personality and cultural people that are happening there. Or maybe you scroll past the post someone put down and said, Lord, if you're up there, smite this guy. Yet, all that in Christ. Paul declares that that spiritual cross, Jesus Christ, and that followed Israel. That rock that struck points to the true rock, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. Smitten, so thirsty sinners couldn't be saved. And that living water would come to us that wells to eternal life. Jesus drank that cup completely. Now, Israel had to wander in the desert for 40 years. Jesus fasted during Lent for 40 days. So that's why we fast, because we are joining God in remembering all the promises He's given, giving up the small things so that we can follow Christ in this and identify with Him. So that we learn not to grumble so much, to appreciate. Still loves, still cares, still moving forward. Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are thirsty. He said that, so here, let me give you a little bit. So we're going to examine our hearts. Where are you quarreling with God today? Maybe we should repent of our hardening of our hearts and our quarreling and our bitterness. Don't wait for proof. Trust God. Move forward in faith. Because God will not going to give you a PowerPoint that says, here, this is what's wrong, and this is where I'm going to change. This is why this is happening. Now listen to this. In His voice today in Psalm 95 is important. God's presence is conditional as He's near to you, near the right place. Rock that living water. God's provision is not earned. It's grace from the Son of God. So we will live. We want to replace contention with waiting our hearts to remain. Because the same God who stood on the rock stands with us. Massa and Meribah remind us of yesterday's values. They don't need to find us today. God's faithfulness outlasts our doubts. We never turn away from Him. God's faithfulness outlasts our bad attitude. He provides living water. From that struck rock, He moves forward to faith without knowing God cares for us. So we want to leave those pain places behind. Meribah and Meribah. I never say that word. And my brain's not working here. Massa and Meribah. I think I remember that. I keep getting mixed up with Manasseh, which is a guy. Manasseh and Meribah. Okay?